This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to it, everybody. It's another episode of the Urban Culture Drive. And as always, I'm not alone in studio. Kitty Zemba, babe, how are you?
Kitty Zemba, boss.
How are you, lovey?
I'm lovely. How are you doing?
I'm good, good, good.
Alive and well. Living my best life.
Yeah, man. It's a 4-5 season. Mr. Craigo.
I see she got a 10. She looks absolutely stunning, guys.
Thank you
she
so much, like guys.
She looks like one of those poor white guys from yesterday's of Eats. Marcel Egmore, yes, prachtig.
Plus, get December.
Wow.
Sandbrand.
Do you want to twist that knife? While it's in my back,
while,
you want to
it? Still at it.
You know? Finish me off for 2018, guys. Finish me off.
Yeah, man. Anyway, guys, 2018 is coming to an end. Last show for the year.
Thank God.
Ending it off in proper style with an interesting conversation.
It is a very interesting conversation and very fitting.
Yeah, very fitting for the
season.
Yes. So we'll be chatting to some very interesting guys later on about a very interesting topic with regards to SAB.
Okay.
Plus 18 campaign. It's called B. There's two hashtags that are running. Be a part of the change and be the mentor. But they'll explain all of that to us.
Yeah. But essentially it's called VUCA, right?
The video is called VUCA, the campaign video. But yeah, we'll get into all of that. We're going to be chatting with Marcus, Bota and Zwele Etu, my brother. Yeah. Zwele Etu from Egg Films director there.
Hectic.
I forgot the name. Sorry. But
right.
Yeah, you tuned in too.
We'll fire the research department.
True.
You're gonna what?
We're gonna fire them.
Nah, it's cool. It's December. So anyway, guys, welcome to the Urban Culture Drive.
Yo, what's up? This is Brennan Leo, and you are currently tuned in to Urban Culture Drive with your boy, the set for Mapanga, the sexy girl, Candace. And the one and only Craigo 6. Sit back and relax. Don't worry, you're in good hands. Out. Urban Culture Drive. Boiler set. Candace. Craigo 6. Urban Culture Drive.
My favorite part of the show. Our sting. Urban Culture Drive. Welcome to it, everybody. Welcome our guest, Mr. Marcus Porter and Mr. Zwele too. The director of Egg Films.
We'll keep it at that.
Otherwise known as Zweli. Which one do you prefer? Zweli.
I was going to ask. Isn't
Zweli to Khatebe?
Yes, Ratebe or Khatebe. Yes, with the R. Yes,
so now Khatebe. We know.
Sorry. Now we know, guys. Sorry about that. But do you prefer Zweli or Zweli to?
Zweli.
Okay. Awesome. Welcome to it, guys. It's the Urban Culture Drive.
Thank you very much.
Candace and Craig. And it's going to be quite a...
It's not your typical radio show, no. I must add.
I think the first thing I'm asking
myself... Because I know we
myself,
got your PR little, your comms little note that you guys sent us, and I'm like, we're not doing it. We never do.
I think the first question I need to ask is, where is the SAB products? Because I mean, that's...
Why did you guys come with
this? Is what I'm here for. Where's I was
the
excited.
Liquor?
As part of promotion.
Responsible drinking.
It's
come on, we
in a safe space.
It's not even 12 o'clock yet.
We're in a safe space. So,
it's December.
Yeah. It's December. We're in
we
a safe
start
space
at 6
so we can't drink responsibly.
This is true.
But yeah.
We got nowhere to be, right?
Jokes aside, Mr. Marcus Buerta is from United.
Joe Public,
right? And Zweli is Zweli too, aka Zweli is from Egg Films.
That's right.
They are the creative director, Mr. Marcus Buerta, and the director, Zweli, of the film called VUCA, which is an initiative by SAB Plus 18 program to create awareness around underage
drinking and essentially try to curb it, right?
Yeah.
That's what I want to actually get into later. Is it about curbing or...
Because
it's a very...
How are you going to eradicate it? You can't completely eradicate it.
That's what I want to get... But before we get into that...
Fine.
Let's get to know a bit more about our guest. Zweli. How did you get to become part of this initiative?
Okay, so I'm a commercials director. I work for Egg Films, which is a production company in South Africa. And what I do is I direct. So I got a brief from Joe Public. Marcus, the creative director, and the team were, they wrote a script and I took it and I wrote a treatment along with other directors as well. And they chose my treatment and my execution, of the film.
Yeah.
And that's how we started to work. That's how we got to work together.
Okay.
So it was their script, their baby, and then I came on and I treated it, and we created I really loved creating this project, I must say.
So essentially the whole project started with with Marcus, and that's then correct. They wrote you in. Okay,
that's right.
Mr. Marcus, how did you get become a part of this? Do you have a long-standing relationship with SAB? Was it just something that when the stars align and like, yeah, no, we're going that way? Tell us the story behind that.
Yeah, so we've been very privileged to do work with SAB over the years. You know, we're kind of their agency from a corporate level in terms of the kind of communications mm-hmm. they want to put out. And it's very different between, like, there's a big difference between the brands at SAB and what the corporate initiatives are doing. Because essentially we're like the voice of SAB. So from a company level, that's the way that we speak. So if there's any kind of initiatives or you know, if there's any kind of programs that we need to run, then we generally do the comms around those things. So we got briefed to essentially look at doing, you know, what's going to be the most impactful way mm-hmm. that we can communicate the problem of underage drinking and how we can kind of curb that thing. And now there's an existing program, which I know Pranisha and then we'll talk about a bit later, but essentially what happened was we were kind of tasked to do like a TV ad and because that's the best way, right? Generally, like mm-hmm. if you want to refresh people's memory, you do like a really cool, impactful TV ad with that, you know, that Africanacity kind of vibe
and get long
exactly.
Then,
yeah. Like that Afro chic kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. and then we kind of looked at that and the thing is that the issue that we're dealing with is so complex. It's such a deep seated thing. Mm-hmm. It's really, really difficult to communicate that in a minute. Mm-hmm. You can't do it in a minute, yeah. actually. It's because there's so many factors, you know,
yeah.
like family and situation and all yeah. that kind of stuff. So we kind of we went away from the TV route and we decided we were actually going to make a short film,
yeah,
and which we called Vuga, to kind of set the thing in its proper perspective, you know, to try and give people an actual a glimpse of what is actually happening in the world. So. Mm-hmm. We then subsequently scripted it up and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, our script was very initial. It's got there's a concept to it. You guys will know there's a hook at the end of the video that, you know, I'd urge everyone to go and watch this.
Yeah.
But, the whole thing of it was that we'd written the script and whatever, and then Zweli took it away and created this beautiful screenplay out of it. You know, we initially had a thought about like, what if we filmed this thing on a stage? Cause you know, all life's a stage and all that kind of stuff. But then what we ended up doing is we ended up shooting it in a location in Cliptown and it was crazy to me. I mean, you guys have seen the film, you know, like all the situations that are happening in that film are really hectic.
I want to get into that. Mm. Like, okay, for those who haven't seen the film will be published on all sorts of media platforms, Cliff Central social media platforms. Mm. So you'll catch
it. But it is currently available on YouTube.
On YouTube, you can find it. So what I want to get into, even is it already airing on TV?
It's going to be on TV, yeah.
Yeah, because I know it's supposed to come. I didn't know if it's on yet. Yeah. So with the video, actually, first of all, aside from the script and everything,
the concept is dope.
It's
I was mind blown. Like, and you know what? I want to just
why? Thank you.
When I watched it for the first time, the first 7 seconds when he sits down, right, the kid, I was like, casting JonBenet. Very similar. Have you guys watched it? Was it semi-inspired by that? Because I when I watched Casting JonBenet, I was like, oh my god, this is an incredible concept.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that came to mind. But you guys did sort of switch it and flip it, and so I think it was dope.
Now the kids in that video, they look like normal township kids. Did you just like pull them off the street?
Yeah, and, like, I was also wondering about
this
that
thing, or so did you have to go to a casting agency for them?
So I went to a casting agent, but I knew that what we wanted to do was not do the conventional way of casting. So a lot of the kids that you see on the screen haven't been on TV before. That was the first time that they were on film.
Yeah.
So they had a rawness and an edge for me, which is something that for us to depict something this real, you need to have kids who are real. So for
we can live that moment.
We can live that moment as well. So it was also important for me to try and take from their own experiences of, you know, some of these things you haven't experienced yourselves, but you have reference of through certain, you know, maybe social a family issue. Member or friend who's had to deal with the issue of alcoholism, you know. So a lot of the time when I was directing the kids, we would have a point of reference and the kids would have a reference themselves, which it just shows you how common this thing is. You know, that
so these weren't
think far.
So they weren't conventional actors.
No.
They weren't trained actors at all.
How did you guys work with these kids then? Because they come across quite incredible, right?
So a lot of the time for me, it's actually not directing at all. Actually, it's allowing them to be themselves. Wow. So I don't look to create actors or create characters, but rather for them to be themselves.
You
almost have to have it already naturally. So then, all we're doing is just changing the character's name or the person's name, and they become that.
But you're living your life basically.
Exactly. So they were not going for character transformation.
They were
being themselves. For me, that makes it more real.
Oh yeah.
And that's my process, regardless of it being children.
Oh wow.
Because it's something. Because even the silence in the video makes it that much more intense.
Yeah.
For you to pay attention and listen, and you're looking at these kids, you're thinking, yo.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
So from a conceptual perspective, I believe that's your part, Marcus. What, aside from the brief, so Candace spoke about Jane.
Who? Casting JonBenet.
Mm. Casting JonBenet. So is it really part of, did you get some of the ideas from that? Like, how did you come up with the whole concept aside from the brief?
So, I mean, look, the brief is always going to have like an objective, mm-hmm. right? So they're going to be like, this is what we want. And the whole purpose of this thing was to create as much awareness around the 18 plus Be the Mentor kind of initiative and the mentorship program and all of that stuff as possible. So when we kind of think about what the concept is going to be, it's always with that in mind. So when we ideating and all that kind of stuff, you have to, otherwise the work doesn't deliver against what it's been briefed against. So the casting of JonBenet was a reference, was one of the references that we used. I mean, it's a beautiful, amazing piece of work. Obviously we had other sort of influences. If you look at like Moonlight, even to some extent like Yizo, like from back in the day,
right?
All of that stuff was kind of in the kind of in our heads when we were writing the concept. But so the whole thing about a concept though is because, you know, not everything has a concept. So TV often, when you watch shows or whatever, there's not really a concept, there's a storyline that follows, right? It's the hook and it's the impact that it leaves you with and the feeling that gives you that concept, that conceptual thing. So it's often really important, especially with this, to test the concept on people to see, you know, the origination. We do, you get a few people in a room and you brainstorm and you see, and then we start iterating on scripts. So we start writing scripts, and then we see kind of where we land. And once we get to that point, we'd then be like, cool, you know, we'd bring on a fantastic director as we got on this show. And then we see how it goes. I mean, from there, it's really, that's kind of our little brainchild, a little seed that we then hand over to a production company like Egg too.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Tebogo. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
It's fine. It's okay. You can go right ahead.
I want to speak about Tebogo. So often productions will lie and say, okay, this is a true story and this is really the Og. So Tebogo is really, he lived that. Essentially, that's his story.
So Tebogo is a fictional character.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
He's
cool.
A fictional character. But what we did is, all the stories that you see in that thing are so authentic and real.
Yeah.
And it's the whole intention of the piece is to help you vicariously live through this character of Tebogo, right? The guy, I mean, it's a fictional story. It's a movie in the purest sense of the word, in that it's got a completely fictional story. Mm. But you can watch that thing and know that it's not fiction. You can watch it and know that those things happen.
100%.
So we took a lot of inspiration from other interviews that we'd had from people on our community pages that speak to us, and from childhood stories that people had, and we kind of cobbled that together into a narrative.
I mean, a lot of the time when I was referencing some of the scenes was on my own life experiences as well, in terms of certain things that I had seen or been a part of. I think a lot of young people have been in those situations when we introduced alcohol at a very young age, from either an uncle or family member or friends.
Especially in black families.
You know, I remember being introduced to alcohol. Obviously, my father used to drink, but also as children, while we were 12, at a school function, when somebody bought the beer.
Because excess is there.
You know, so it's something that's a reality, and it's just something that I think hasn't been focused on as much. It's more about with alcoholism amongst adults, but it started somewhere.
Yeah.
And these are the contributing factors that we speak about, or we try to ingest into the film.
Yeah. You know? Because I wanted to touch on that, right? Statistics show that, I was going through, so Health 24 shows that 60% of youth, by the time they're 18, have at least had a drunkenness encounter by the time they're 18. Mm. And then what that brings to mind is, from the communities we grew up in, alcohol is there's like 3 to 4 taverns down the street that have no yes, they'll put the 18 year old cell there, but you can get in and buy alcohol, right? Mm. But now what I'm trying to get to is that with VUCA, let's start with that. With VUCA, what was the actual intent behind? Like, what was the ultimate message behind that? Is it to say that teenage alcohol abuse, it leads to violence, or teenage alcohol abuse should be curbed or should be eliminated? What was the ultimate goal with regards to the VUCA creation? Before I get into that,
I think if you look at the film, it clearly shows you that a child under the age of the responsibility mm-hmm. ages and mm-hmm. and has not got the capability of being able to drink responsibly mm-hmm. because okay. of his because of the okay. the age.
Yeah.
You know, and I think even regardless of age, once you get to the point of 18, the abuse of alcohol is still a choice subjectively. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you can't blame the product. Mm-hmm. You would have to blame the individual. However, we're looking at a film where we're looking at 18-year-olds looking down.
Going okay. down.
Yeah.
You're not an adult. You may think you are. I mean, I've been there. I know that I thought I was, but I definitely wasn't, because I wasn't able to control a lot of things, not just, you know, in your life.
So the reason
that was the objective of the film, to show that these are children who are losing control because of the abuse of alcohol.
So essentially, is to look at one aspect of the general picture, because, I mean, we all grew up, as you were saying, from mm-hmm. underage drinking. We are all, I don't want to say byproducts, but we are stem from the generation of underage drinking. Mm-hmm. And we drink today, responsibly so. But the fact that we started young has not affected where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So that's what I was trying to paint but what a picture on.
Basically, what they're saying is the abuse. Like, so
yeah,
not everyone, like, you were lucky enough to get lit
at
16 and be able to walk away with your life and still, you know, become an incredible engineer and radio host. Some people don't. We didn't have the same narrative. Yeah. And I think it's the fine line between that they're trying to shine out.
I think for me, I'm quite more curious about the audience, because if you're looking at somebody between, let's say, 16 and 18, right? These are kids that are definitely influenced by things that are not necessarily good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're promoting something as curbing alcohol and having a 7-minute video clip to influence them to do the right thing, it sort of is a difficult thing. Mm. I'm a lecturer at a university. It's very difficult to have something positive like that for that long.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to think, if you really think about the average video now, it's 60 seconds, Instagram. Mm-hmm. If you need to push an agenda like that, it has to be impactful, but for like 1 minute. And mm-hmm. but you mentioned earlier that it's too short, you know, yeah, it's something rife.
And it's too fast.
Haven't you guys had like a problem with that, especially when it comes to promoting it, per se? I mean,
To your specific market,
to kids that are like quite out there looking for things that are actually not really good for them. You know, I'd watch this because it makes a lot of sense. But someone who's like 16 to 21, you know, it's like, yeah, but it's not really what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how do you guys deal with such?
So the video, the movie isn't for like underage kids.
Yeah.
It's for us.
Okay.
The adults.
Okay. Because the whole point of this thing, as Zweli was saying, like when you are underage and you are going through these, you're in these at-risk situations, you don't have an idea of what consequence these things can have, right? Like, because when we're a kid, we think we're just going to live forever and everything's going to be fine. But the whole point of this thing is we need to try and get us as adults
to be aware.
To be aware and to become mentors.
Gotcha.
For these kids that don't have it. I mean, if you look at the evolution of Teboho through the story,
mm-hmm.
he didn't have that.
Yeah.
He didn't have anybody there. And there's millions of people in this country and across the world that are also in the same situation, where you don't have somebody that is guiding you through those things, that isn't making you aware of those consequences to whatever degree, right? Okay. So the purpose behind it, I understand what you're saying about impactful short content. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the way that it's going. If you mm-hmm. look at, yeah, I mean, it's some of the recommended lengths on Facebook and those things now are like 6 seconds. Make a 6-second ad. And that's going to be the way to do it. But for this, it's not for, because also, like, if we're saying that kids don't, or kids by and large, don't understand the consequences of some of their actions when they're at risk, then what we're saying is, you know, for adults to then take control of those situations and to help those kids through.
Yeah.
So anybody can be a mentor, right? So like if you go onto there's like a website and there's all kinds of stuff that you can go to, which I think the other guys will talk about later. But The whole point of it is that it's any degree of mentorship. So anything that you can help somebody with who's young, who's at risk, in terms of their decision-making process is a positive thing. So this is for us. We made this movie for us and for you know, the people that are in the position to help.
I think at the same time, the way in which it was packaged was in such a way to be able to actually also engage a younger audience.
Yeah.
Because I would assume
there's trailers. So we're giving everybody something that they're used to. Kids today are watching trailers because they want to watch the movie.
Yeah.
So we took them there, if that makes sense. We put them into the cinemas, if you want to say that, because we had the trailer that engaged people. We had the bumpers and the teasers that came out. So people 100%. were watching and wanting to find out, because I think we set it up in such a way that it was like a blockbuster. Yeah. And I think younger people, and I saw like in the comments, we can't wait to watch this movie. But they don't realize when you see the film, the impact and the message it's going to have behind it, which might catch some viewers off guard. But I think it will even educate a youth who maybe is in the same situation to say, oh, shucks, I don't want to be like that. Maybe I'm going down that path.
Exactly.
And then, of course, the necessary market, which is the adults, to be the mentor.
Just as a final thing on that, I mean, if you look at so we did teasers as well. We did little 10-second pieces of content.
Okay.
We published two of those 10-second pieces of content on social media and all that kind of stuff. And we were, for a stage, the number one trending topic in South Africa on Twitter with 20 seconds of content.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. This was ahead of when Global Citizen was happening.
Wow.
It was ahead of all that stuff.
So timing was perfect.
Timing was perfect. And then we trended again when we launched the main video. And so it's, you know, when we talk about impact, I think it's relative, right?
Yeah.
Because if something is good and it's something that you really want to engage with and watch, people will talk about it.
Perfect. Yeah. I wanna ask something. Sorry. What do you say to people that go, okay, well, this is an SAB campaign, but you're trying to curb underage drinking, but aren't you the supplier of it all? Aren't you the main problem? You're at the core of the issue. What do you say to what might be seen as hypocrisy of it all?
I think that's a question that's going to be for our next guest.
Okay.
After the guys. The guys are just on the...
We'll leave it on ice. We'll leave it on ice. But also, they obviously...
Creating. But okay, a quick one for you guys. From your own personal experiences, what would you say are the causes, from your personal experiences, of underage drinking?
So I think... there's so many. I mean, if you look at... environment,
poverty
environment is a massive one. You know, legacy, the way that we grew up and the situations that we're in and all that kind of stuff. Escape is a big one. I think for people in poverty, boredom is a big one, because I mean, if you go to any township at any time of day, there's, I mean, what do you do?
Right?
What do you do?
And alcohol is cheap, guys.
And I mean, I personally have access to do other things, but I would rather drink because it's nice and let's drink now. You know what I'm saying? It's that thing.
I buy that.
I think for me, it's like I look at what was making it attractive to me personally when I was younger, and it was because it was cool, my friends were doing it, type of thing. And whether those friends came from impoverished areas or not, and I don't even think it's actually about social, like where you are in the economic table. You know, sometimes some people, you know, just want to drink because they want to, like Marcus is saying, escape
the high.
The high.
Would you liken it to drugs?
To
drug use.
Losing. Some people enjoy the losing control aspect of it because they, you know, maybe running away from certain issues, and so it's very subjective.
So now, with those varying, or not varying, but contrasting, not contrasting, but yeah, different views, I would believe that getting that whole video concept in order and which message to actually push out was quite tricky. Because when I look at it, that is one aspect of underage drinking.
Yes.
But like from my side, we did it because, yo, it was December, we're young, we just want to have fun and try
there
it
was
out.
No, there was no...
But other people, like you said, do it for escape, and now they do not recover from that. It's fun, it's young type of vibe.
Yeah.
Other people is because they've been growing up with it at the house.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, there's a scene, the last scene of the film where you see the, and I won't give away much, but
when he slaps the mother.
Yes. Yeah. You see the boy, and you see an older man coming out of the room. Now, the way we
different from
you,
the other
you create the backstory around these characters, but the backstory we had around him is that he's also abusing alcohol himself, and that he's
makes
in
sense.
The and because he's abusing alcohol, the boy is watching and mirroring him.
Yeah.
And of course, if he's not being the mentor by being able to be responsible with alcohol, he's not feeding the right information, guidance
to
this
boy. Yeah.
So he's not the mentor. That's hence why it's Teboho's story, because he's gone through, this is the character, of course, he's gone through all of those aspects of life where even adults who could have, should have been, and could have been the mentor, would not.
Yeah. Okay. SAB, I believe, is listening. I'm just throwing bones and letting them know that, look, Vuka is a very powerful and impactful video.
Absolutely.
But it would also be nice to maybe create a chain of those videos showing different perspectives. Because some others, underage drinking, is like I said, we most probably are a generation from underage drinking, but here we are doing something impactful and good with our lives. There's stories like that that can
like
be told.
Like the aftermath, I think, would be great to see as well.
And,
like,
and it's not all bad.
Yeah.
No, no,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it would be nice to show that, look, as much as underage drinking has a negative impact, it can also be controlled by the positive impacts around society. Like, for example, if you as a parent know that your kid, you find your kid drunk or whatnot, then you can show them the goods and the bads of drinking alcohol.
Or not per se. I would say like you could probably do something like okay, cool, Temba went on to, you know, become a womanizer. John wasn't, or you could be like, John became lucky. John was lucky enough to get out of it and grow out of it, but you know, Peter didn't. Who will you be? And no, you won't probably get that lucky. You know, like,
play to the.
But I mean, obviously, they're trying to send a message of like, guys, it's not the way.
Abuse of it, regardless of age, will have a negative outcome.
Yeah, you know. That's what I'm getting at. So it shouldn't only be underage drinking, but also understand why underage drinking is happening.
Yes, yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
I get
videos like that that shows that. Not only the cause or the effect of underage drinking, but the cause of it. You get what I'm saying? Not only the result, but the cause of it. Then we curb underage drinking as a whole. Because if you're only showing the results, we're still not dealing with the problem.
So I think if you look at, I mean, just based on the Vuka thing, I agree with you that it's a really good idea.
To roll out.
But I think that if you look at the
way opening that, scene is already telling.
That's a cause.
It's a cause.
But the thing is, in general, these stories are universal.
Yeah.
So the people that we've shown, everybody that we've shown this film to, has their own anecdotes about how it's affected their lives. Because while we are very lucky in that we do come from, I mean, I was also drinking at 15, I was going to clubs and stuff. But I have friends that weren't lucky.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, and it's great for us. That we managed
but that's not everyone's narrative.
Because of genetics, or because we had people in our lives that helped us through things, or whatever, or we had support systems or ambitions or whatever. But we all here in this room have friends that that are not that lucky. That are our age now and are not that lucky.
But you also have a story to tell how you became lucky.
Of course.
You get what I'm saying?
Let's
not only tell one
focus
narrative.
On the negative. I see what
you get what I'm saying? Paint the whole picture and then curb the whole problem.
Yeah.
I would also like to say, don't you guys think a major issue is because we as a nation love booze? We love to drink.
We're one of the top drinking nations in the world.
I think that personally, it's because booze just makes it easier for you to come out, become a second persona. You know what I mean? You become more confident. You're a little bit more laid back, which in essence, you know, is contrary to what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be boxed up. So when you go to a party,
you release your inhibitions,
you're able to talk to different people from different races,
liquid courage,
you know,
all of a sudden you're getting on top now. You know,
it works. But drunk driving is the problem.
Yes,
drunk driving.
With that said, we'll continue the conversation right after this.
Yo, what's up, this is Brennan Leo, and you are currently tuned in to Urban Culture Drive with your boy Nasefo Mapanga, your sexy girl Candace, and the one and only Craig 06. Sit back and relax, don't worry, you're in good hands. Out. Urban Culture Drive. Boy Nasefo, Candace, Craig 06. Urban Culture Drive.
Yeah, we back here. It is the Urban Culture Drive.
Yeah. We're still talking all things underage drinking.
Yes, with SAB.
With SAB this
the
time.
Irony.
And now we're throwing them in the deep end.
Yes, bringing the
fire. You guys actually got the craziest part, actually. Hey, you guys should have switched this.
It's tough for you guys now.
I'm sorry, guys.
Like, disclaimer.
I hope everyone can forgive us at SAB HQ.
Yeah,
because
it's going to be lit. kick it off with that question then.
So previously
okay,
I asked, wait.
Sorry, let's do this properly.
Oh yeah.
So guys, we're chatting with the people from the representatives from SAB, Ms. Refilwe Masemola and Ms. Pranisha Maharaj.
Yeah.
They're going to be talking everything SAB about the 18 plus campaign. The questions that Candace has for
I want to ask my first
and
one.
Yeah.
Burning.
Everything aside from the creative.
And this, I don't want a PR answer. I want
an answer.
An answer. You can tell us. No, they pay us to do this. So we just had to do it.
Yes. No. No, she can't.
Are you asking for protection?
Can't. Kick it on, baby.
So I previously asked the creatives, Marcus and Zwile, to... about the hypocrisy, right? So you guys are SAB, essentially the liqua. You guys are the booze, the problem. The problem. And now you're sending out this campaign, oh yeah, don't drink. You know what I'm saying? How did you... Is this you guys trying to... You know what? Just answer.
How did you come to that concert?
So it's not our guys putting up a show. So yeah. that's the first thing. So yes, we are the liqua.
The liqua.
however, as you know... The law states you sell to over 18s.
Yes.
So we do not in any way condone
underage drinking.
And that was that's essentially what this campaign is about. It's essentially what the program is about. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all quite aware that there's a very serious problem in South Africa and across the world generally mm-hmm. with underage consumption. And it is up to all of us to actually address the question. Mm-hmm. So... I mean, recent stats have revealed to us that 1 in 2 South African teenagers consume alcohol prior to the legal drinking age.
Dude, mm-hmm. and I just want to say that's actually mind-boggling because mm-hmm. I personally, my world where I think I'm woke, you know, and I know what's happening, did not know that underage drinking is such a problem.
Yeah.
I thought you drink, you get drunk, and you're just like, it's not for me, and then you go on to be a doctor.
But that's the thing I actually want to ask to break down, and that's where I was kind of going with Marcus and Zweli too. Yes, let's say underage drinking has such high percentages, right? But from those high percentages, it's not all underage drinkers who are
that go on to be flops,
aggravating or grievous things. So how do we then put the balance? Because that's what I was trying to get to, saying, look, we all are from a generation of underage drinking, all of us. Not all of us. Let me not generalize. Most of
majority,
us,
yeah.
Right? But yet we've come to say, or come to live. Affluent, not affluent, but
say it, baby. Say it with your chest. Affluent. Say it with your chest. When
life or life changing life, if that makes sense, right? But so the difference with us and the other ones that we're trying to educate is small. And how do you put a percentage to that? And how do you go like? How do you make it standpoint that underage drinking is bad instead of saying we recognize underage drinking? How do we best deal with it? Because it's one thing to try and curb it when there's excess with 7 taverns down the street, you can't. So how do you best mitigate it? Shouldn't that rather be the question?
And I guess this then speaks to the purpose of the campaign, right?
Yes.
It is about having responsible people in your life that influence your life choices. I think what you touched on is so poignant. So you've said we are the difference, and it's how you chose, right? Mm-hmm. We can't all say here that we have not had the experience of alcohol underage. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be lying, right? Mm-hmm. Accessibility, it's there in everything. We just chose a different outcome. It's not a reality for everybody, you know? And you must understand, I think what you've said about choice is that it wasn't an abuse thing for you. You didn't drink to get drunk. You mm-hmm. either liked it or you didn't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys touched a lot on about why people drink. And you talked about boredom and escape and. And I think if you think back to your decisions about why you drank in that particular instance, it either worked out or it didn't for you and you chose a different outcome.
Yeah, you were like, no, I don't want to feel like that again.
And I think you also were speaking about how South Africans are about getting lit and we're a big drinking nation. I think it's about how alcohol is positioned within the country. We just, you know, we're about Pooza Thursday. We don't ever, do you know what I'm saying? We have to have conversations about, listen, if we're going to drink, how do we do it responsibly?
Exactly.
I mean, when you get into the car, it's not just your life you're endangering. There's a lot of people on the road. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think it's about looking at alcohol and its usage as a whole, as opposed to kind of saying, look, And it's bigger than saying SAB is a supplier of, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
It's literally how you, as Refilo Masimola, make a decision about how you have alcohol. Our job is to ensure that you're having alcohol, but a good experience with it. You don't wake up tomorrow with a hangover. You don't wake up having made a bad decision. So it's literally that kind of conversation.
Speaking of that, you remember there was that ad about the dictionary where they were using slang and spa and whatnot.
Mm.
I was thinking, why doesn't SAB create like a one-on-one how to use alcohol vibes for hangover tips for and create an advert like
because
that?
Because we actually don't really know.
Because we don't know. We know. All of us, I have myths and
the one of drinking water after every glass. Absolutely.
So over and above you providing or the company providing the beverage, they're teaching you how to use it responsibly. Over and above the VUGA campaigns, over and above the trade stories. Because look, VUGA campaign is or the VUGA video is one story.
Yes.
Right. We spoke about choice now.
Yes.
So I was about you also create a video of a person who made a different choice, who also started from that background. That also sets a different narrative to a person that I actually have a different choice.
Mm.
It's not all doom and gloom. If I am responsible, I can use it properly.
Yeah. I think you should join Joe Public's team.
So I was about
with all
to
your
say
incredible ideas.
More work might be coming your way.
At your boy over here.
We hope we don't have assistant creative
director. We don't have
director.
To pay you for those.
So Be the Mentor program is one of various initiatives that we actually do. We do many.
I know in 2014 or 2015 you started another one with UNISA when they did. What was the name? Okay, I forgot the name.
Probably
before our time. We youngins. But on a serious note, we do actually run quite a few initiatives besides VUGA. I mean, the 18 plus campaign has been running since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working in communities. We have mentors in communities who physically speak to kids, take them through various things from school, how to encourage education, how to learn, how to get the best out of what you have given your circumstances. And I think that's what it's about, and that's what makes the difference between one individual to the next. At the crux of it, we are all an individual. We make different choices given the same circumstances. So what the mentorship program is about, and what we have recognized through our various on the ground initiatives, is that lots of people within communities, within both urban and rural communities, they require an adult role model at various stages in their lives, be it for underage consumption, be it life
for
choices,
education, anything,
for education, parenting, peer pressure, and not all of them want to talk to their parents. Mm. Not all of them want to talk to their to their teachers or can for that matter. Mm. So the Be the Mentor program is not. It started off solely about curbing underage consumption, but it's grown to be
bigger
more
than that.
Societal.
I mean, we have almost 10,000 digital mentors at this point in time. So the program has grown a lot over the years, and people are seeing the benefit of it.
Mm.
So, you know, it's whatever speaks.
Essentially, is it a pretty effective mentorship program?
That's a question I wanted to ask, right?
Yeah.
When I read this, there's like over 10,000 volunteers or mentors.
Yeah.
So first of all, I was like, Jesus, there's 10,000 people out there with alcohol abuse problems.
I don't think you have to.
Because I didn't know now it was a broader. Because
yeah.
we explained it now. Because when he came out, it's like, okay, be a mentor, alcohol, VUGA. I'm like,
10,000 alcoholics.
who have volunteered.
You know, who have had bad experiences on alcohol. It's like, Jesus, that's a lot.
Yeah, and get
then,
it together.
If these are 10,000 people, how many more people are they mentoring with that kind of
how
problem?
How many kids are there?
You know, how many kids are there that are really suffering? Because such stats are, it's good to bloat, but when you try and break them down, it leaves you in like, huh?
Yeah, you're like, it's quite
devastating.
I think to Pranisha's point about mentorships, right? Like, you
can we be mentors? Sorry.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Of course.
Okay. And, you know, it's about wanting to effect change in somebody's life. I mean, she spoke about needing mentorship through different stages of your life. I'm an adult for, you know, as it's classified. But I need mentors about how to parent. It's new to me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I was thinking to myself, I suppose if we had mentorship or something that was existent when I was younger, would I have made different choices about what I studied? Would I have gone to school differently, you know, all those things. So it's more of a life tool. You know, yes, there is obviously the need to curb the prevalence of alcohol abuse, and it's a reality in South Africa. We can't shy away from it. You've spoken about the accessibility of it within the townships. I mean, there's a tavern everywhere you go, and. So it's literally about being able to be able to say to somebody, look, this is something I'm trying to dabble in. How is it that I can best ensure that the outcome of it is not something that is going to be catastrophic to my life long term? You know, and that's the kind of conversations you should be having with a mentor. Like, listen, this is an idea I've got. You've got life experiences. Help me, guide me here. And that is its point.
So speaking of that, how do people now get in touch? Aside from watching the Vuka, and they must watch the Vuka video.
Yeah, guys.
Where details are available. Free information right now. How do people become mentors? How do people become
mentees?
Participants.
Mentees and mentors. Yes.
Mentees and mentors. Yeah.
So essentially, on a formal level, if you do want to join our program, you can go to www.bethementor.sab.co.za, where you take a pledge, simple pledges.
This is
what I'm going to do. I'm going to take on a little kid, help them with their homework or whatever it may be, right? That you see a need for in your mentee. So what we do on our platforms is we provide guides on how to mentor, because not all of us know how to do that either.
As much as we want to be that.
Yes, I mean it's lots of things are firsts for us as well. As I continually tell my son, I'm a first time parent, so I'm learning. It's easy for me from a child perspective to see what's going on with him, because I've been through that. Haven't been a parent. So similar way. Not everybody knows how to, but coincidentally, if we actually have to sit there, think about it, we are all in our everyday lives
somewhat
doing good.
Yeah.
We are mentoring. When we tell somebody, do not do something that is going to cause them harm, we are mentoring that person. So it's a simple thing. So yes, on our websites, on our social platforms, we are continually providing information, posts. For example, I'm very high on education. So during exam times, tips on how to help your mentee study. What kind of chats do you have with them?
How do mentees register? Same platform, same way.
Mentees cannot register, remember? Again, so coming back to being in the alcohol industry, we can't speak directly to under 18s, as we'll be seen to be
how do we reach out to the kids? How do you reach out to the mentees then?
So via the mentors. So you know the people in your areas, in your community.
So you start in your own community. It's not like you guys make a link. Okay.
So as the mentor, you select the mentee.
Yes. Okay. Because then we know that you are comfortable. And the fit is correct. Because if you don't have a correct fit, it's not going to work. The relationship has to work. You need the person to buy into what you are saying.
Speaking of fits, right? let's see if we have a compatible fit.
Oh my god.
Hey,
because we are about to switch things up right now.
Get the publicist Candace, out the room. All the
Candace
publicists out the room.
Is about to switch it up real quick. For you guys. Hold on.
Urban Culture Drive.
Yeah.
So guys, we usually play a game.
Oh god.
And I was wondering if I shouldn't play it with them, but I thought, let me just throw you guys in the deep end.
Yes, let's switch.
This game is called Death Is Not An Option, because death is literally not an option, because you'd literally want to die than answer any of these questions.
Oh my god.
And so I will pose a question to you, and you'll pick which one of the lesser evils you prefer. And I was actually looking at this and I'm thinking, are we all going to get fired? Like, what's happening? Okay, cool.
This is how we close the year on this day.
Yeah, unemployment for us.
Yes, let's do it.
Craigo Sexy.
Yes.
Would you rather swim 300 meters through feces or through dead bodies?
Through dead bodies.
Dead
Why?
Bodies.
Warmth.
Oh, wow.
Trust you.
Oh, wow. Job.
Yebo.
Would you rather die on Christmas Day or on your wedding day?
Sure. Christmas Day.
Sorry,
Christmas Day. You might resurrect.
I might come back as Jesus.
Never know.
Christmas Day.
Pranisha.
Oh, no.
Would you rather kill someone in a drinking and driving accident or be in one but the only one who survives in your car?
Oh, that's horrible. That is horrible.
Sorry.
Firstly, I don't drink.
Oh wow.
There's no wiggling your way out of it.
Disclaimer, it's fine. That's what you need to choose.
You need to pick one. One of the
lesser evils.
Lesser of the evils.
And we do advocate that people don't drink.
Yeah. I wouldn't ever drink and drive. So that's
hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
In a different world.
Hypothetically, I'd rather die than somebody else.
But this is quite a hectic one. But you got to answer. We've asked worse.
She'd rather die.
I'd rather die than kill somebody else, quite honestly.
Okay. Was that even... No. That was not the question.
Oh, my God.
That was not the option.
That was not the option.
Okay, stop.
Is there no all of the above?
No.
None of the above.
None of the above.
Stop playing this game with corporates.
No. No, we do not ever advocate drinking and driving, so no, nobody should.
Because I'm super
what's the point of this game now?
No.
This game is not. I'm joking. Let's go on. We can go on. Let me ask you another one then. I'll ask you a different one.
Yes.
Would you rather have 3 kids and no money, or no kids with 3 million rand?
3 kids with no money, definitely. Absolutely.
You guys, really,
you guys are giving us this perfectly.
We whine about them, but we love them. Yeah.
This is all for the media. This is all to sound good. Let me get to you, Rafael. This one's also hectic. This one's not that hectic. You gotta answer. Get so drunk you pass out in the middle of nowhere and wake up in Limpopo with no idea of what happened to you.
Okay. And why Limpopo?
Jay, you're far from home.
It's hot.
Or end up in a viral video where you're doing some questionable stuff under the influence.
Oh my goodness.
Bam. Answer.
And I'm obliged to answer.
Yeah.
Can I start by disclaiming that you should not drink to the extent
here we go
where you're having a horrible experience?
You had some media training, yes.
You need to be able to be aware of what you're doing at every stage.
Now answer.
However, if I'm forced, I mean absolutely forced to answer your question, I like Limpopo.
It's okay.
Fabulous. Fabulous. That's how you answer it, Pranisha. You answer like a politician.
Being diplomatic.
Yes, Craig or sexy.
Yeah.
Have a lifetime supply of autumn harvest crackling, or never be able to drink Shampopo ever again.
Well, the good thing is that there's an alternative to champagne, so I'll just leave the autumn.
You could live a full life.
Full life without the champagne. I'll just drink gin and tonic.
Okay.
Without drinking and driving. Yes.
Okay. Craig or Job.
Yeah.
You come across sorry, bruh. You come across a taxi accident scene. You realize that by chance both your exes are in there in a critical condition. You can only save one. Who are you saving? 7 year or 3 year?
Go.
Boom.
Guys,
I'm sorry.
I think on that note,
and I really hope they're not listening.
We've reached the end of the show.
No,
that was lovely.
You gotta answer, like, Job. You gotta answer.
Yeah. So on that note, I think we've reached. No, I'm joking. Look. So it's a tough one to choose, right?
Yeah. But
so I just let them both.
Oh my word.
Oh wow.
No. That was not the question. Not the question was you gotta
you
save
gotta
one.
Choose.
Like, it's tough.
3 years or 7 years?
You save one, now they're becoming like you. You have... No. They must just faith.
Pick one.
Uncle who did his things.
Pick one.
And then...
Pick one.
It's
you're talking too much today. Pick one. 3 years or 7 years? And I know you like the 3-1.
One. I plead the faith. That's my answer.
You drowned him already.
That one I can't answer. I plead the faith.
Job, I'm very disappointed today. Pranisha. Last one, okay?
Again?
Yeah. Would you rather live a poor life... Yeah, I know how you're going to answer this one. Would you rather live a poor life with your loved ones or rich life all alone?
It depends on the day and the time. Money talks.
Money talks.
That's true. Depends on the day and the time.
Sometimes a Monday is not amazing.
Yeah. And when the Tuesday is like a Monday, it's not amazing.
So which one? Off the top of your head. I hope your family's not listening.
Be controversial.
Yeah.
Pick the money.
Always pick the money.
Nah. You see, you get the rich husband and then you get both. So.
True.
So number one and you get both.
Fine. You guys are really wiggling your way out of these questions. Corporates. Can we not do this again? I'm joking. Last one, refill where? Yeah. Oh, I think I have another. No, this is the last one, refill. Would you... I know how you're going to answer this one too.
I might surprise you.
Yeah.
Would you rather win 500 rand or let your best friend win 500,000?
I want my 500 rand.
Are you just going to assume she's going to share with you?
No ways. I want my money. I'll take the 500.
Oh, you're taking your 500? I like your refill. You can't take chances with money.
True. And friends.
She'll disappear like this.
So, guys.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
That was a nice game, right?
They didn't play it right. You broke the rules. You even broke the rules. Everyone broke the rules today.
So I have a twist, right? Today is a very special day for a very special somebody in my life.
I hope it's the 3-year.
No. It's actually my 75-year love.
Ooh.
My grandmother. Yeah, we'll go. I just wanted to say happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Coco. Happy birthday to you.
Round of applause, your grand.
I hope
happy
you enjoy
birthday,
Coco.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. Uben esugolum nani no Coco.
All right,
my nyakdan. Mama?
Eh?
Nyakdan nage.
I'm
going to
ask you to go by.
Yeah, Mokoko. I'm going to ask you to go by. Radio. So we'll talk later.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye, Coco. All right. I'll say thank you.
Okay,
sharp. All right, sharp. All right. Just like that, we've reached the conclusion of the show.
It's the end. And now it gets crazy.
Yeah.
Because there's another game we play. I'm joking.
No.
On that note.
On that note, you're out.
Where's the door?
So, guys, thanks a lot for coming through.
Thank you. The mentorship
program. The mentor program.
Yes.
Plus 18 program.
It's really, I think it's a fabulous campaign.
Yeah.
And we could really make a change, actually.
100%. And anyone can be a part of it.
Yeah. And anyone can be part of it,
yeah,
guys.
You don't have to be registered. You know, just literally, just take charge of somebody else. Your own life.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just curious in terms of the safety. I mean, do you physically have contact with these mentees or do you guys just chat?
No, remember they're in your community. So it's literally someone you're familiar with.
It's you that is choosing somebody.
100%.
The sole reason that you would join our platform is to get material to support you as a mentor. But yes, you are choosing the person yourself. It's somebody that you know. It's somebody that you can relate to, and that person can in return relate to you. So,
100%, because there are a lot of cycles out there, you know.
Yes,
safety first.
Safety first.
Yeah. Hence, it's your yourself, and we are not imposing anybody on you. But as we said, I mean, we require South Africa to rally behind us with this, to address these issues. You know, like
and be a
age.
Part of them.
Be a part of them. Be a part of the entire movement, because that is what we are trying to do. Create this movement. Let's assist our youth, because they are the ones that are going to be there for us in the future. And the only way that they can do this is by us showing them the right path.
On that note, guys,
it's the final show for the year.
Much light.
It's been great, guys. Thank you. I need to go and leave now. Wrap please. I'm tired. Give me Zemba boss.
To have a party.
Shout out to you guys.
Be responsible and be safe.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful ladies.
I guess just to follow on your say, yes, just be safe, be conscious. I mean, there's so many ways you can have a good time. Just pace 100%. Yourself. There's lower alcohol products available. You know, just make conscious and clever choices.
On that note, I'm going to end with the festive song by our very own people.
Munati Mpulai.
Summer Days.
This is CliffCentral.com.